allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, I found out this morning, and I believe it's accurate information, that Robin Piper's father passed away Friday night. So if we can keep him in our prayers, and please send our condolences to Robin and the family. Not sure any of the details.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
I'm all for that.
That'd be appropriate.
Thank you. It's 9:30. It's time for public hearing on stormwater management for 16.7088 acres in Fairfield Township.
Based upon the estimate, the annual assessment fee is $105.19. Once the subdivision is platted, the number of lots will be divided by the assessment.
Okay. Is there anyone here who would like to address the commission during this public hearing? Anyone here would like to address the county commission in this public hearing, either for or against?
Move to close public hearing.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
And I do have a stormwater assessment for 16.7088 acres in Fairfield Township.
Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes. Thank you. You're on, Dave.
Morning, David.
Good morning.
Knock over the water.
Yeah. First item I have for approval is Avalon Station. This is a new subdivision in Fairfield Township for 36 lots.
Is there a motion?
I move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
The second item is a replat. This is Sutton Place and Westchester combined lots.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
What about the new policy we had where Yingling's supposed to bring all these things in personally?
Oh, okay. Let him know about
that. I don't think it's gotten to him yet.
You might want to remind him of that.
Yeah. They're never in the same spot, like where they can squeeze them in.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, Dave. Communications?
Approve minutes from the July 5th meeting, approve travel and training, approve transfers and appropriations, approve agreement with OKI for fiscal year 08, approve a release of funds for upcoming 07 CDBG projects in Butler County, approve agreement with JP Consultants under Environmental Services, approve requests for installment payment, designate board president as signatory for OPWC project agreement, approve encroachment agreement with Duke Energy, approve extension of public water and sanitary sewer services to Rialto Crossing under the county engineer, advertiser bids for Voice of Freedom parking facility. What that is too, it's a parking for Metro Parks, but because it's a federal funded federal grant, that Metro Parks cannot enter into a federal funded project, so they're running it through the county engineer. Approve agreement with Burgess and Ipel for Hamilton New London Road Bridge. Under miscellaneous, accept resignation of Patrick Bach from the Metropolitan Housing Authority and appoint Chris Connell to the Butler County Metropolitan Housing Authority. Grant approval to Sheriff's Office to operate DARE program 0708 and under the care facility, hire three intermittent two RNs, one LPN.
Move for approval.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
And Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Chuck? I'd like to clarify a situation that was mentioned in the editorial this morning's paper about there was no provisions for how the $1.5 million to $2 million in annual maintenance costs for the new system would be paid for. That was definitely allocated, and it was mentioned numerous times, and particularly in our public hearings. It's shown as a line item for maintenance to cover that after the 09, that we will cover maintenance on the existing system. However, at one point, I did suggest to the advisory committee and the chiefs of the fire and the police that we should consider putting in an 11%, I think it was an 11%.
Of the total part, yeah.
Of the total part as a plan, a business plan, to cover expenses down the road when new bells and whistles are introduced, when a new system is needed. And that was to keep us from having to go back to the taxpayers for another increase like the taxpayers okayed for this particular radio system. They're very understanding. They knew that the existing communication system has been bad. The taxpayer has been very supportive on this issue, and that has allowed us to have a state-of-the-art communication system throughout the county. It also helps us with the homeland security, which puts us ahead of the game as far as many counties are concerned. But it was definitely stated in the plan when we brought this forward and at the public hearings that the allocation was made for the maintenance as well of the existing system. My suggestion before was merely for the future, to try to plan ahead, that each agency that could possibly do it would chip in and put it in a reserve, and a reserve fund for the future of the system. So there's some misinformation for whatever reason, but it is definitely allocated, and I can show documentation where that was brought forth even at our public hearings.
Well, I think it's a great idea to do a replacement fund in the future, especially if you're looking 20 years out, where we could set aside a little bit now, which will be a lot at the end of 15 or 20 years, because as technology changes, that's going to change, and we're going to have something to replace that with. So that would seem to me to be a prudent business plan. So I don't think we're talking about a lot of money, are you, Chuck?
No, it really isn't. Considering the maintenance that they're used to paying anyway for the dilapidated systems that many of the municipalities have at this time, that would be, I would think, a minimal amount to pay for the reserve for the future. It's probably something that we would need to take to the various city councils or city management administration to see what their thoughts are on the matter. And there was some confusion, I think, even when I brought it forth for the chiefs. Some of the chiefs took a dim view of it. Others were very much in favor, but I think maybe if we lay it out and explain it fully, that it might be better accepted. But that's sure, I would not be in favor of going before the public again and ask for another tax increase for another system. So that would alleviate that.
Chuck, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it leads to a question that I've been talking about since the beginning, when we talked about the formation of the emergency radio system and how we went to the public and asking for sales tax to fund it, that I pledged to the citizens that I would make sure that the money was spent wisely and efficiently. And I'm not convinced that if you were to start over with a complete new radio system for the county, that we'd have 9 separate dispatch centers. I know that when we looked at the towers for the county, the county map was erased clean, and our consultants, the experts, came in and said, well, we need 14 towers to give completely coverage for the county. And it didn't take into account worrying about where old towers were, just what would cover the county. And that's the same question I ask, and I've had conversations with several members of the advisory committee, a couple of the chiefs, and Matt Franke about how many dispatch centers do we need in order to do the job efficiently for the county our size. And the answer I get is a lot less than 9 and more in the range of 4. Hamilton County has 2 large dispatch centers and 2 smaller ones to cover the county their size. So that's a question that I think needs to be examined and looked at. And it's going to take, as I mentioned at the radio meeting, that we need to have cooperation, compromise with regards to this radio system, with regards to the operation, which leads to the second question that we need to have clarified that's been talked about in the radio communication world, and that is the state law saying that the sheriff is in control of operations. The word definition of operations is still needs to be decided on, but those are questions that need to be answered to my satisfaction with regards to how many dispatch centers do we need. I can see the need for 4 if everyone's willing to cooperate and to compromise. It would provide a lot of savings to individual communities in order to get some of their dispatch personnel on the street for patrol, and also to save money for maintenance, which I agree that we agreed that we would take care of in the future. Having 9 different dispatch centers means that our costs are going to be higher for maintenance. So that question, I think, needs to be addressed and need to have that discussion.
Well, to point out one issue you mentioned about the sheriff being in charge of operations, I think that that's true, but that doesn't interfere with each individual system as far as having their own dispatch or their own anonymity as opposed to being operated fully by the sheriff. The sheriff is in charge of operating the system, but that doesn't mean that he encroaches on the individual systems like Middletown, Hamilton, Westchester. They will have their own system, standalone system as it is now, only it's new equipment. And it's equipment that's able to intercommunicate, or whenever should an occasion arise where we have a serious incident, catastrophe of some sort, then they have the ability to communicate with each other and work together. That would be wonderful if that was never utilized, if we never needed that. But in this day and age, with everything that's happening around the country, you want to have that capability. Jim's here from the emergency management. He can speak to that. Catherine is a member of the emergency management. We know how important that is. When the sheriff has the operation, it clearly states in the law that the individual police departments, the emergency management, they will all have their own operation unless it's necessary to for them to intercommunicate.
I agree with that, but the question still remains as to, I think some jurisdictions are not comfortable with that
definition
of what operating means, and that's what I think needs to be clarified.
I can't argue that. I mean, we're on the same page there, and that you run into the turf battle when you're talking about the systems of the
dispatch
center. Thank you.
Well, that is where we need to sit down and talk about that, because we don't. As far as I know, from all the technological advice and explanation I've given, we don't need 9 different dispatch centers. It's just a waste of money to have that many dispatch centers. Now, if someone can prove to me that we, technologically, we need 9 different dispatch centers, then I'm all willing to listen to that. But I'm not willing to pay for something just because this is the way it's been done. We need to, clear the county and say, okay, what is needed to provide the service that we've asked the public to pay for.
What kind of response have you gotten so far from the
I've gotten
chiefs?
The email from the chief Fernelman today. He'd like to sit down and talk to me about it. But
good.
We're
on the same page on that. I can't argue that at all.
But it is going to take a great deal of, you know, okay, let's think outside of what we've done with regards to communication. And the different protocols can certainly be the same. But if counties the size of Hamilton County can work with smaller numbers of dispatch centers, certainly we can, and which will end up saving money in the long run with regards to maintenance. And the money that we would be saving from the original estimates of 9 different dispatch centers goes right into the savings account for maintenance. So it's not like I'm trying to say, hey, we're going to save money and use that money from the general back to general fund purposes. I'm saying let's keep it right where it is in the maintenance fund, and that way townships like Westchester and other townships, when the maintenance is required, will have the money to be able to take care of it.
I think that's all well and good, but I think we need to focus on the bottom line, and the bottom line is that the commissioners are going to fund the system to build it, and they're going to fund the maintenance for the original system. And that's the question at hand. The other question is Greg, is well brought about how we can save money, and that is just the beginning of the discussions we need to have.
Well,
and it's not just that in the whole system, but of course anything we can save, and my philosophy is be more regional and not everybody duplicate services. But we're going to need all the trustees and the city council people and everybody on board to make that happen. This is not a decision that's made by the chiefs. This is a decision that's made by the fiscal people. And they tell the chief can say whatever he wants to say, but if the fiscal people don't say we're going to fund it, then they're just out of luck. So,
but that goes back to, you know, if I'm a township trustee or a police chief from some other, you know, and I knew that the county was going to pay for it, well, why wouldn't I, you know?
Well,
that's where it kind of comes back to us.
Yeah, I think it's our job to communicate that regional message, and it's our job to show that we can do it with less and do it better. And once we do that, then the approving authorities then get on board, and then we move forward in a more regional effect and accomplish what you want to accomplish, plus much more. But for today, I think what we're talking about is, you know, well, the townships and the cities are sitting out there saying, well, wait a minute, now who's going to pay for this $1.5 million, $2 million? Well, the fact is it's coming out of sales tax.
Yep.
And the fact is that 0.25% that stays on is going to fund that.
Right.
And that's the county's obligation, and it's going to do that. And then the rest of how we build the system out, what opportunities are there for us to save money, what opportunities are there to share resources and manpower and whatever else we got, regionalism, that's all going to come into play. And it's not going to happen in the first 2 months or 6 months,
but the
years.
But see, it's important right now that we have that discussion, because
exactly.
if we fund 9 different dispatch centers, we're never going to be reducing that. So
well,
now is the time that we need to, you know, may have that discussion to
but
say.
You have to have the information to give to the entities that show we can do it. I mean, I understand it's the old Reagan trust but verify. You know, I mean, they've been told enough. I mean, we got to show how we can do it. I think everybody's on board. I mean, everybody wants the system to work for the least amount of money, because any money we can roll back into the system means we can add more improvements earlier.
But the question, I agree with you, but the question is still going to remain that will Miami University and Oxford combine their dispatch centers? Will Hamilton and the county combine their, you know, and I don't have a plan because I'm not an expert on this, but, you know, will Fairfield and Westchester combine their dispatch centers? And that's where the cost saving is going to come in, not only from the initial build out, but also the maintenance.
But Greg, they weren't told that from the beginning.
I told them from the beginning
that
when we had a meeting with the sales tax and we were talking about the radio system, that I knew right away that you know there's going to have to be some cooperation and some combination, because it just makes sense. From a standpoint of trying to provide the best radio system in the least amount of expense.
I think if you told Hamilton that they had, or Fairfield, that they had to share dispatching with Westchester, that would not be a conversation that would happen quickly, and probably at the beginning wouldn't be a very good one. I think we have to devise the plan to take the council and take to the trustees and make sure everybody's got what they need.
I think
it's easier said than done.
You're just using that for an example. You're not suggesting.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, Greg had brought it up earlier when you were out of the room. He said that he realized at the beginning, and I'm saying I don't think they were told that they had to share that.
No, there wasn't mention of that.
I mentioned that there had to be cooperation, and if someone can prove to me, you know, I understand the whole thing is about the way we've done it before, and a chief, a fire chief or police chief, doesn't want to give up what they have, especially if they don't have to pay for it or their council doesn't have to pay for it. So that is where the rub is going to be. If we're going to pay for everything, they're going to say, well, give it to us. It's only natural. And if someone can prove to me technologically, and I've talked to Matt Franke about this, about, you know, how can we, you know, can we combine these dispatch centers so we don't, and he said, well, absolutely. So that's where if I can be proven that technologically we don't need 9 different dispatch centers, then, or we do need them, then I'm all in favor of it.
Well,
now is the time to have that discussion.
I think first and
before
foremost,
we start purchasing them.
Why we wanted this system and why I pushed from the beginning was the fact that they were dilapidated systems, and we want the safety for the citizens of Butler County and the officers who have to be on the street. I know from experience from being on the street that when I would call for assistance in some pretty serious situations, I would be covered up by another transmission, or it just wouldn't reach the dispatcher. But with the new system, we won't have that. Now, where or who answers my call for assistance or the officer on the street, I don't think the officer on the street really cares as long as it's instantaneous and they can respond. If they can combine their dispatch centers to make that work, that's fine. But with the new radio systems, that should not be a problem. And that's why we need it so desperately.
Well, that's certainly number one priority is to make sure that technologically, we provide what we've told the public we're going to provide,
right.
and all the officers feel safe that, you know, when they're communicating, they're going to be heard and be answered.
Well, that's my point. I don't think the officer on the street cares where that particular dispatch comes from or how it's originated, as long as he gets the help that he needs. And
well, then this shouldn't be a problem, should it?
No.
Well, I wouldn't think, but I mean, I know how the turf battles are,
well, that's what,
and
no.
It's something that I'm happy to assist you in addressing.
And it just comes back to the maintenance of how much we're going to have to spend in the future if we have a smaller number of dispatch centers that still does a first-class job of communicating.
Greg, I think, and I agree, and I don't think anybody disagrees with what you're saying. But
I know
but
I'm throwing a time bomb out there.
It's not. I don't think it's good enough for somebody to say, "Well, I think you can do, from some radio guy to say, I think you can get by with 5 and 3 instead of 6." I mean, that's a real important issue to these people, and it's an important issue to the municipalities. And there needs to be a whole lot of thought and study put into that. And this is not something that, you know, this is going to have to be a group effort, you know. So I don't know how we start that. It should already have been started, but I think we need to start that conversation now, that dialogue. And I think it starts with the trustees, and it starts with the councils. You've already started it with some of the chiefs.
Well, but as they said in their meeting with me, at least 2 of the chiefs said, you know, hey, this goes above my pay grade. So it goes to the councils and the township trustees, but there again, if I'm a city councilman or a trustee, and the county is going to pay for this the whole thing, why should I say, hey, I don't want anything different? I want a brand new stuff for my city.
Well, I think it goes back to what Commissioner Furman said when he was talking about a replacement fund, I won't vote for another sales tax to fund this radio system.
Oh, I'm not either.
We don't need to.
You know, I think the taxpayers got all they can handle, and we've got to work with what we got. Now, that works better if we can dispatch out of three locations rather than seven. And I think, given the kind of people we got to deal with in government, I think we can all come to that conclusion and work towards that. And that's being part of more regional. So that's where I say we go. And I don't want to tell anybody that they can't have their, if they got a dispatch system out, they can't have one. I'm not going to say that. I don't know that Westchester and Fairfield can function together. I don't know that.
I think that, and I've asked this question, technologically, can they function together? And the answer I've gotten from who we've hired as experts, who's doing the day-to-day operation of building this system, have said yes.
And why didn't they tell us that at the beginning?
Because I said it from the beginning that we have to have cooperation.
I mean the experts. We need to. We can't rely on one or two people. We need to reach out to the communities, get their input, see if it can work together, make our case, and let the decision be made.
I don't have any problem with
that. Could we possibly have the assistance of somebody like Kimball, who are the experts in the field? Or I'm using that for an example. I mean, we could go for bids or whatever to have somebody assist us and the trustees and the city managers and so on to look at the various units and see what they would recommend.
I think that should be ongoing through the
sure.
You know, from the beginning on the way through, because technology changes yearly. There's always ways to do it better for less now.
As I understand that the timeline is that, you know, we're purchasing nine positions right now, and the plan calls for 30, and the other 15 are on hold because of just this very question.
Because some of them have multiple stations at their centers, right? That's what you're, yeah.
So we are working on, somebody is looking at that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We need to communicate that with the governing entities so they know what's going on and they're not sitting
there. I don't think it's gone above the advisory committee or the chiefs. I don't think that Catherine, be happy to listen to you, Catherine, is to say that, hey, we've been presented with this of combining our system with someone else's for better efficiency and cost savings.
Well, I think that's what I was talking about when we need to get everybody up to speed and nobody needs to be left in the dark and the left hand needs to know what the right hand's doing. And just together we can make that decision, but we can't make it for them. We have to make it together.
It goes back to when we went to the public with the sales tax, I made a pledge to make sure we spent the money as wisely as possible. And this is part of it, that we can build a system, at least technologically I've been told this, with less than nine dispatch centers. And if we can, we save that money of building nine and put it into maintenance, so there's no general fund money going anywhere other than the radio system that has been earmarked for. So we save money to be able to pay for years to come the maintenance cost.
Greg, I think it comes back to that's not our decision solely. I mean, well, we have to involve.
Certainly it's not. I agree.
You know, so if we don't have the trustees on board and the council people on board, we can want all we want.
Well,
you know?
But
it won't happen.
But it still comes down to then technologically, I mean, then we're building a system that we really don't need. We're having over redundancy of systems, and we're going to have more maintenance costs in the future because of that. Because we need to have that discussion now.
That may well be the case, and that's why I'm saying we need to move quickly to communicate with these folks so they know what's going on.
We're
going to
send out a letter to each of the...
I was suggesting that we sit down and have a meeting.
City managers.
And
that'd be great.
But to reiterate, if I may, Mr. President, just the fact that there was a statement made that we've made no provisions for maintenance on this, and the press was at these public hearings, and a lot of people was at the public hearings. There is documentation to show that that was covered in the public hearings. So it's there was some misinformation that was put out there. They will be covered.
Well, and to add on to that, you know, I think we're people are trying to make issue of it. We talked about a five-year plan, so what happens after those 5 years? Because we only showed 5 years on the plans. And that was just a snapshot to show how we were going to allocate those funds. Just because those 5 years would be over doesn't mean that allocation is going to change. You guys are, commissioners are committed to the long-term ongoing maintenance of that cost, not just for the five-year plan.
Well, some of that first 5 years, I think, is covered by...
Yeah, sure. It doesn't start till you're like year three.
Systems anyway.
Yeah, so.
Catherine, would you like to...
Clearly, we got some work to do.
Thank you so much, and good morning.
Good morning.
This is very encouraging to me to hear this discussion, because I think this is a very important one, and it certainly needs to, this discussion and decisions need to happen as soon as possible. With respect to the county commissioner's long-term commitment to the system, this has been a great concern of ours, because quite frankly, when our people talk to your financial people, we're told, no, we aren't committing past 5 years, that's it.
Well, I don't know where that message is coming from.
Tim Williams.
Well, I don't think it's coming from Tim.
Well, now you're hearing this like what, third or fourth hand? So, I don't think it's helpful to get into a he says she says kind of situation. I think the most important thing is that we all agree this is an important system, and we want to move forward in a productive, efficient way to implement it and maintain it. Speaking just as one trustee. I see the value in working from a regional point of view. And if there is value, say, to Westchester, you know, partnering with another community, I, for one, would say, yeah, let's start talking now, because this is something which takes a long time to implement. And the sooner, it's like the longest journey begins with the first step. We got to start talking at this time. We are currently, in fact, tonight, we will be looking at and improving, if it meets our needs, a concept for a new safety center, which will include a new dispatching center, which will be, our current one isn't large enough even to deal with the needs we have at this time. This one will be larger, will have more room for dispatchers. The computer that we use, plus the software that we use for our emergency response services, are software and computers which can easily expand dramatically past what they're currently being used for. Now, that doesn't mean there's no cost to do it. There's a cost for every single person that's going to have a laptop, yada, 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 that's going to be on the system. What I'm saying is the basic system we have would be the same for what we're using for now as what you would use it for a larger area. And so just speaking again as one trustee, because we haven't discussed this as a board, I'm happy to start a discussion with whoever we might be able to partner with, you know, to see if we can handle this more efficiently. And quite frankly, while you're right that the decision has to be made on a city council and trustee level, the fact is if you are sitting there saying, hey, listen, we're going to budget $1 million or $2 million or whatever it is a year, and that's all we're going to budget for operations, and somehow we have to fit this function into it. And if we look at the fact that these functions, dispatching, are very expensive to do it right. This is expensive. The GIS systems, the computers, all those laptops that get jiggled around in patrolmen's cars, all that, you know, constantly needing replacement, repair, upgrades. If all these communities know that, look, the county wants to help, but it needs to know it's going to be done in an efficient manner, and we need to see some of you guys coordinate, and if you could talk among yourselves to see if there are partners which would be most efficient for you, rather because of, say, the size of your departments or the technology use or whatnot, you know, to start talking now. So I think this is a discussion that really needs to happen. I think it's very important that we out in trustee and city council land do hear from the county commissioners that there will be a commitment to long-term support of operations or maintenance. Otherwise, from my perspective, we're going to spend $40 to $50 million of the taxpayers' money, and in 20 years we'll have nothing to show for it. Because all of these systems need to have regular equipment replacement, regular software upgrades, and all that takes money. You know, nothing, there is no, you know, dispatching tooth fairy out there that's going to supply all this. Somebody's going to have to pay for it. And if we're going to work well together, you know, we have to start talking now and start. And so,
if I may add to that, there are some smaller townships out there, obviously, that cannot afford a lot of heavy upgrades and so on as the system needs it. And we've been able to work with the smaller townships with grant money and so on, and I think we'll be able to do the same with this particular funding as they show the need for it, so that we're all in the same boat and we all want to row in the same direction. So that's what it amounts to. But I would like to also give credit where credit is due. This whole system probably would not have gotten off the ground had it not have been for the assistance of Westchester and Oxford, because they had already started in the direction of the 800 megahertz. And
we own lines.
We're willing to share. And that was most important as far as getting this system to go at all. So for that, we're definitely appreciative. Oxford and Westchester should be commended for that.
Well, thank you. I think that's all. I did have one. Is it okay if I bring in another topic, or are we?
It all depends what it is.
Catherine, before you leave there, though,
sure.
I just want to clarify one point. Whatever you've heard from staff, and your staff has talked to our staff, right here's the bottom line,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to fund that system, and we're going to continually fund it.
And I think that is so important, because, like I say, otherwise the taxpayers will be spending an awful lot of money for something which will not be able to hold up more than maybe 20 years. I mean, let's face it, the equipment's going to be obsolete in seven. Well, actually three, but everybody uses it for seven or eight.
Westchester's to be commended for its forward thinking and more importantly, the regional concept. We're going there whether we want to go there or not. We're going to be driven there financially.
We see it as important, and I think if we all, and by all of us, I mean not only yourselves, but also city councils and township trustees, if we see this as an opportunity to not only provide good current services, but to ensure the safety of our people into the future, and do it in an efficient and sensible manner, that I it's hard for me to believe that there will be any obstacles that can't be surmounted.
You're correct. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yes. Before the current Board of Trustees is a decision that you will be making on who's going to be heading up our children's services. And while I know that former Commissioner Mike Fox's heart is in the right place, I think there is nobody who would disagree with that. The fact is, he has no experience in administrative management of this kind of facility, has no training or education in this kind of management. And I think it would make a lot more sense for the commissioners to say, put in a professional manager and say, I have Mike Fox work as an assistant manager, you know, to learn the job for 5 years, say, before you move them up to it. Otherwise, it is the nature of children's services and the work that they do that, unfortunately, tragic things can happen to children, things that tear our hearts from us. And what's going to happen if you put somebody with no experience, no education, no training, but really means well in this position, and this next terrible, tragic thing happens? Everybody's going to look to the commissioner and say, what on earth were you thinking? You know, you put somebody in place who had policies that were clearly out of sync with what is considered standard for this kind of function. And it's going to come back on you. you know, for having put somebody who had no qualifications outside of a well-meaning heart. It's sort of like, you know, I love our pets and our dogs and cats. That doesn't qualify me to be a veterinarian. You know, heart is important, but it takes more than that.
Kathy,
and I think our children deserve the very best.
Point,
and I'm just speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for the Board of Trustees.
But it, to my way of thinking, you know, unfortunately, there's evil people out there, and they're going to, you know, evil people are going to do evil things. And we're going to have a tragedy in this community just like in any other community. And it doesn't matter if we have the most qualified person in the world as a director. Those tragedies are going to happen. And it's unfortunate, but it is going to happen. But you're right. They're going to be – we'll be under a microscope, whether Mike Fox or whoever the director is, because we're now – the commission is now in charge of the Children's Services. And we don't have a board. It's going to be the three of us to make sure that we set the policy and set the direction along with the new director. So, you know, I hear your point, and that's as far as I'm going to go.
Well, and you make a very good point. My concern is that as a longtime business owner, well, you're a business owner yourself. Mr. Dixon, you're also a business owner for many, many years. I firmly believe that good policies and procedures help ensure good outcomes. And if you put this board into the hands of somebody who has not worked in this field, he's interacted with it, but he hasn't worked in this field. It's just like I interact all the time with people who maintain roads. That doesn't mean I can drive one of those asphalt resurfacing trucks and know exactly how to tackle a particular road maintenance problem. You see what I'm saying? And that I really believe it's important that you have a professional manager with good experience and training and education in this field, because I think our children deserve the best. And I think putting somebody who's well-meaning in there is not good enough. I think it would serve this county much better and the children in this county if you put a professional manager in, and perhaps Mike Fox could have, say, an assistant's job while he learns the business, and then at some time in the future.
Second,
sure.
How I see that, I don't think children's service. If I have any input into it at all, no one person is going to have that kind of influence on children's services, be it Mike Fox, be it some lady, be it whomever. I want enough people in over there in the management and the supervisory people over there. I want them so highly trained and so well qualified that what one brings and one is lacking, the other one has. You know,
I hear
the smartest guy in the world, but I know that if you bring competent people around you, you know, if you build the team, you don't have to be the smartest guy there. Now, everybody wants to keep focusing on one person. If I have anything to do with it, it won't be one person. One person can leave there that day, and nobody even know he's gone. That's how much talent's going to be there. The system's going to be built completely from the bottom up. It's going to have to involve the sheriff's department. It's going to involve the prosecutor's office. It's going to involve people who have social service skills that are best in the nation. And I know, you know, and I don't think we have any of that available to us on any of our selections right now. But we have to build the team. And now, maybe it's, you know, is it department ran by titles? No, I don't think so. You know, there's going to be more than one person making that call. And I'm not comfortable, you know, I mean, you know, I don't have a social service background. You know, say I'm in charge. I'm smart enough to know that I'm not the guy that has the talent that we need to build that system. I know I recognize that talent when I see it. I can hire that talent when I see it. I can build that team. I can build that management structure, and I think that's what we're doing. Everybody wants to focus on one person, and that one person, I don't care who it is, can't be left with that responsibility.
I hear what you say, and in some respects, you repeat one of my favorite mantras was, which is simply hire good people and then let them do their job, give them the tools they need to do their job. But when you're hiring somebody without this good knowledge, who can say my way or the highway to somebody who has the knowledge, then I think we've got the cart before the horse.
Together, and that's not going to, that person,
but
whoever it is.
There is no board left. There's no board left, right?
Yeah. That person, whoever that is, can't be able to say my way or the highway. Not when the system's, not when our new system's built. There's checks and balances. There's all kinds of people, outreach into the community, more people involved. Everybody's going to be looking at it. Everything's going to be transparent. Can't happen. We've had too much of that already. It's already operated out there by itself, and it's, you know, we know what we're doing, and the rest of you people don't know anything. That can't happen anymore.
Well,
and
that
we, it's up to us to build that organization, and people like you and other people in the community, have, we want to be involved in that process, and there's no secrets. Nobody has all the ideas, and nobody has all the wrong, you know. I got people work for me that, brilliant, you know, and he may give me 50 ideas. 49 of them you got to throw out the window. But the one he gives me, the one of the 50, just changes the whole organization, you know. And that's, I mean, you know, you got to be out of the box, in the box, talent everywhere. I don't see anybody that we've had come before us that has the ability, that I would say has the ability by themselves, him, her, the guy from Stark County or anybody else, that I'd feel comfortable saying, you take control. Not gonna, I won't build it that way. If I have anything to do with it, it won't be built that way.
Well, that I can certainly, I mean, your response really resonates with me. And there are so many people that are watching, because the children in this community, I mean, those poor defenseless children are so important to all of us. And we are certainly hoping that you do are able to put in place this system that will help produce a better service than we've had to now.
We hope so. So sure, I can tell you we're committed to it. It's our hearts go out to that whole, the whole agency, and it's, but it's a tough job to do. But you know what? Butler County can do it. I think we got the talent. We got people that serve in the community that have the talent to see those people, to recognize the people that can do that.
I sure hope so. Well, thank you very much for your time.
I'd just like to add that as far as I'm concerned, that particular position, whoever it may be, that's going to be a performance-based position, and we're the bottom line. So, and what I reiterate what Don has said. So,
well, and back to the other topic, I, for one, and I'm sure the rest of the board are looking forward to a productive discussion with, you know, county staff and with the emergency management board and whoever's involved, so we can move forward with this plan for an efficient, you know, helpful service.
Hopefully we can do a whole lot of things together, Catherine. That's the plan.
Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine. Anyone else like to address the commission?
You might acknowledge our trustee from
John McAbee. Trustees. Okay. Thank you, Joe. Is there anything else?
I have nothing else. You?
Nothing.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Thank you.